The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
You know, God's heart, His desire, is always just to meet our needs, deal with our pain. He doesn't want us to be in pain. Things that we've been talking about with offense, it brings us many times to a place of great pain, and it allows the enemy to entrap us. You know, in Luke, the scripture that we've been bringing this, that I started this message with, Luke 17, it says that offense will come. And here's the thing that we have to realize when it comes to offense, that we are either going to take it and run with it, or we're going to stop it in its tracks. It is a scheme of the enemy. It's a trap. That word scandalon, it really means that that is rendered offense. It really means the bait stick of a trap or the trigger of a trap. Everybody's seen different kinds of traps, right? Well, I'm going to share some with you this morning because just as a visual. I talked to you last week about that mole trap. And I certainly want you to see that one. It's an interesting trap. But here's what I want you to understand from this. Here is the mole trap. Nasty looking thing, isn't it? And of course, you set this thing here. You pull this down and you push it down and then you set it. And when the mole comes along, you've put it on his burrow. And when he comes along, guess what happens? Didn't take a big, huge imagination, does it? Pierced. The enemy is doing his best to pierce people. And I want to tell you, you know, this is an old trap. It's rusty. The enemy's schemes, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we wrestle against the wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. Those are schemes. His schemings have not changed a whole lot. He has, just like, you know, with our technology has changed over the many years and centuries, he uses the technology that man has created as part of his schemes and his traps, but his traps are always the same. His traps and his schemes have gone back to old times, even before the creation of man. The enemy is a wily enemy who desires to trap as many people as he possibly can. And he'll use different kind of traps, but you can always tell that it's the enemy, because his ultimate desire is to hold you down, to keep you from being and doing what God wants you to do. You see, when you get in the trap of the enemy, and offense is one of those traps that I'm talking about, when you get in the trap of the enemy, you know it's the enemy's trap because he always tries to take you out of the place where God put you. And when God puts you in that place, the enemy's desire is to remove you from that. Now, he may not remove you completely and totally. He doesn't care whether he can remove you completely from the situation. If he can hinder the work that God has called you to, he doesn't care that you stay in that burrow that God has established for you, as long as he can pin you right there where you are and you won't move forward. You won't be able to go forward and you won't be able to go backward. This is kind of a hideous trap, but it's a real trap. And it's the same kind of trap that the enemy establishes for us. There's other traps. Look at this one. You're all familiar with this kind of trap, right? This is a rat trap. And I hate to set these kind of traps. In fact, you guys are going to all laugh at me. But in our family, Tammy's the one that sets the traps. I can't bring myself to setting that thing. It just makes me so, you know, I get on edge. And what I end up doing is I'm so nervous doing it that I end up causing it to go off. And it's painful. I don't like that pain. But you can see what happens with this trap. Smashes. It just smashes if anybody's ever trapped a mouse or a rat, you see what happens to it. Bulgy eyes and, you know, it's nasty looking. Right? The enemy, our enemy, Satan, is doing that to people. He's got us. He traps us. And you know, you feel it. Every one of us has experienced this from time to time. We feel the pressure that the enemy puts on us. The pressure to conform to what the enemy wants us to conform to. So these kind of traps they're pretty effective. But remember, it's just a trap of the enemy. And what we're trying to do is trying to identify the enemy's schemes, his plans, his tactics, because that's what it is. The Greek word there is methods, actually, methodia. And it's a basis of our word method. So it's scheming, it's craftiness, it's strategies. The enemy has strategies that he's trying to trap God's people with. And offense is one of those strategies that he is very, very effective using against God's people. Here's another one. Maybe some of you have used these. These are kind of nasty. They're sticky traps. If you get the mouse or the creature on there, they're stuck. They can't go. Have you ever caught a mouse on one of these where they just got part of their leg or something and they're dragging it around the house? Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it? You know what I don't like about these is that then I have to take the poor little thing out and crush its head or something. You know, some people are getting, oh man, don't be so graphic. Huh? But you know, the enemy catches us like this. He'll stick us. If he can get, even if we may just get one arm or something stuck in this situation where we're dragging this extra weight around. Yes. You know, that mouse can't get away from me when he's dragging this thing around. He tries to drag it under the stove or the sink or something, and he can't because this thing's attached.
That's right.
That's what the enemy does to us. He gets us, he puts an extra weight on us, and we just can't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish.
Yes, sir.
Schemings. These things are real. This is what God wants us to be set free from.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be trapped by this. All right, that's about all I have there this morning. There's all kinds of traps. You know, if you got a big game, anybody ever seen a bear trap? There's great big old traps. Huge traps. Fox traps, small game traps. Trapping, they're just different traps for different situations. And that's what the enemy does. He has a different trap for every situation. But they're old. They're from times of old, and you can recognize them because the enemy always desires to tear down and tear up. If the enemy ever tells you to do something, or if you're trying to discern whether it's God or the enemy, I can tell you this, the enemy is not going to tell you to do something good that lines up with the Word of God. Now, he may twist it in such a way to make it sound like it's coming from the Word of God. And if you're not careful, if you don't go to the Word of God to get your guidance, you'll believe what his schemings. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. God didn't say you would die. You know, God didn't say this or God didn't say that. He still says that. He still does these things. He takes just a little bit of the word of God so that if you're knowledgeable about any of the word, so that you think the enemy is telling you to do this or do that. But what we have to do is discern the word of God, because God will never entrap his people. That's not what it's about. God always, when God tells us to do something, he gives us the total free will to choose to do it or not do it. Praise God for Laura's testimony today.
Yes.
You know, she was trapped. The enemy was trapping you, lying to you. Use one of those ancient traps. But God is bigger than the trap. God is bigger than the problem. God is bigger than the offense. God wants to set his people free from these things. And I believe there is supernatural deliverance for God's people in regards to these traps that the enemy has established and set over people. And the big one that we're talking about, oh, there is one more trap that I wanted to share with you, because this one, I believe, is offense. This one represents offense. Has anybody ever seen a trap like this before? When Brady and I found that mole trap, we found this trap. This is a mouse trap, believe it or not. It's an interesting trap because you put the bait in there and you wind this thing up. I may not be winding it the right way, or it's possibly broken. But anyhow, you wind it up and it has a mechanism, a spring. It's spring loaded. So guess what? You can catch 10, 12 mice with one setting. You put the bait in there and they come in, and it has a big arm that sweeps. When it goes off, it just sweeps that mouse in. And the next one comes along, sweeps the next one in. And the next one. I think this really represents offense to me, because offense is one of those things that so many people are being swept up by. Offense is one of those things that the enemy has just used, particularly in these last days of the church. He has used in such a way that people are unable or are not exercising their ability to get away from. The enemy is causing offense in such a way that people are leaving the church in groves, because they don't realize it's a tactic of the enemy. And he's just sweeping them up. Sweeping them up into this thing called offense. We get offended because somebody said something. We get offended because we heard something. We get offended because Pastor Rob got up this morning and looked cross-eyed at me. I know he doesn't like me anymore. Well, maybe I didn't like you in the first place. So what? Come on. I hope it's not about whether Pastor Rob likes you. Because it's not. It's about the love of Jesus. It's about the power of God. It's about where God wants you to walk and what God wants you to do and what God wants to accomplish in your life. And when we allow this spirit of offense to trap us, to keep us back, to hold us back and cause us to isolate ourselves, and that causes us to hole up and hide out. You know, I've talked about that before. That's exactly what offense will do to you. It'll cause you to draw back. Last week, I talked about it being a fortress. David said that there's a fortress that people build around themselves when they're offended. And a fortress or a city, a walled city in those days were huge, huge walls. Some of them over 200 feet high, 50 feet thick. And they were a place for the surrounding people to run into to get away from their enemies and run in with their friends. But the reality is, in the body of Christ, when we are offended, we build these fortresses around ourselves and we try to call other people in. You know it happens. Do you know what Pastor Otis said to me? This is what, you know, Pastor Otis said this to me. So you need to get away from Pastor Otis with me. Let's go hide out away from Pastor Otis. Come with me. Come on. You guys know this happens. We try to justify our position. If we're offended, then we try to get other people on board with us. That's how church splits start. They're the nastiest thing on the face of the earth. Usually the rumor mill, and one person is offended, and then another person gets on board with it, and then before you know it, two or three more are, and the whole thing is, before it's over with, no one really knows what the cause was. But they just know they don't like Pastor Otis anymore. Or they don't like Pastor Rob. Or they don't like Bethel Worship Center. Or they don't like any of the millions of churches. You know, they just don't like whatever. The enemy has used offense to bind people up. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying this morning. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to take too much longer with this. This morning, I got a lot to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin with verse 3. Now, we can just go all the way back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank. I'm sorry, I turned to the wrong. That's a good scripture, by the way. God wants you to go there, I'm sure. Go home this afternoon and read that scripture. 2 Corinthians 10. Gee whiz. 3. Begin with 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. How many times do we have to go over that? I want you to know that God is very faithful to let his people know that, yes, we are fleshly beings, but our warfare is not in the flesh. So, in other words, if we're offended, we do not react according to our flesh, regardless of why we are offended or where the offense comes from or how we are offended. We're not supposed to react according to our flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is good word. This is the kind of word you need to take and just and meditate on it and think about it and allow it to get into your spirit. It says strongholds. Literal translation of fortress. As I was talking about, don't let those fortresses be built up around you. Paul goes on to explain, cast down arguments. Accusations, false reasonings, literally speculations. Many times offense is built on a speculation, not on a reality. People speculate that someone meant something or thought something or did something with certain intentions. It's built on unsubstantiated reasoning and speculations. Strongholds are reasonings or thoughts or a thought process that are contrary to the will of God and the power of God. So what I'm trying to point out to you this morning is that what these things begin to happen, and the Word of God is clear that we take control of this thought. Now, where does the thought begin? The thought begins in our brain, doesn't it? It's a brain function. However, when we start talking about the mind, I believe there's a lot more to the mind than there is the brain. You know, the brain is the the physiological function that God created. But there's so much more to us than just that part of it. There is so much more to us that, than just the brain function, which begins the thought. But those thought processes are established, and once we get thoughts established in our life, they become a part of us. How many of you have just been going along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, a reoccurrence of something that happened in your past just pops up? Boom. There it is. It can be a good thing, and most of the time, it's a bad thing. And what the enemy is trying to get you to do in that situation, he's trying to get you to dwell on that thing. He's trying to get you to think on that thing. He's trying to get you to meditate on that thing. Because if he can get you to meditate on that thing, he can create a stronghold in your life that will cause you to build up a fortress around you. And every time you think about it, you're going to add to that. Dr. Carolyn Leaf has written several books, but one of the books that she wrote was Train Your Brain, and what's the other one, Linda? The one you bought it for me? You don't remember? Okay. Who Switched Off My Brain? Yes, that's it. Thank you. Now, she's trained. I think last week I might have mentioned it, said that she's a psychologist, but she really is not. She is a communication pathologist, an audiologist, a cognitive neuroscientist, and she's been studying the brain for 25 years. And in her studies, one of the things that she has discovered that studying the brain, that it's not just the brain that has memory. She's discovered that your heart has memory. Science is confirming this. Every cell in your body has memory. This is incredible stuff when you start thinking about wounds, physical wounds, and spiritual wounds, emotional wounds. Thank you. You know what that was all about?
That was an amen.
Amen. That's right. That was the light people doing an amen. One of the things that they've also studied, found out through technology, and what they've been able to do is that they've been able to scan, with modern day technology, they've been able to scan the brain. And in scanning the brain, they, as they do this study and they have people think about positive things and negative things, they begin to see things in the brain, neurotransmitters that take place, and things that begin to grow in the brain when we have positive thoughts and negative thoughts. And when we have these positive thoughts, she said, what it looks like is a beautiful tree growing up that would produce wonderful fruit. You know, beautiful, wonderful trees. But when people have negative thoughts or negative reactions to things that have happened in their life, the thing that grows up in their brain looks like a gnarly briar bush. And every time you think positive thoughts, you either add to that positive tree, or negative thoughts, you add to that gnarly multiple rose, I think. That's what comes to my mind, a multiple rose, how gnarly and nasty those things are. You know, they were originally planted around here as a natural fence row. That's what they were touted as. They were going to be a natural fence row. That's how wise people are. And they, so that you could plant those things and keep your cattle or animals in, and you never have to plant, you never have to do a thing again with fence. Well, that's the scheme of the enemy as far as I'm concerned. If you have any land at all and you have those things on your property, that's the scheming of the enemy. The devil made them do it. I know he did. Hallelujah. Schemings. But anyhow, I want you to understand that there are things going on. And not only does this happen in your brain, then there's there's chemicals that are produced in your brain that then go out into your whole body. And you know what I'm talking about, that when you've had a negative experience or a positive experience, when you think back on it, you get an emotion from it, don't you? There's a good emotion, or there's a positive emotion, or there's a negative emotion. When I smell certain smells, you know, Tammy's a wonderful cook. And Randy loves her noodles. So she fixed noodles for Randy from time to time. But you know, when I smell certain things that she's fixed in the past, man, I get a good feeling. You know, a warm fuzzy. But yet there are things that I have that should have been a positive smell, and yet I'll smell that and get a negative reaction to it because of something that happened in my life that revolved around that particular smell, right, or thing. It's happening all over. These kind of things are taking place. Now, that's why offense is such a powerful tool that the enemy establishes, because when he can cause an offense, he begins to create a scenario in your life that when somebody mentions something that connects you to that offense, guess what happens? Negativity fills you up. And you begin to feel the pain that goes along with that. And to you and to me, you know, if Pastor Otis says something to me that touches that nerve and causes me to go back to that situation, it was his fault because he did it. He said it. And he doesn't even know that he said anything. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, he has no idea that he touched that. That's why we've got to be on top of our game. We've got to recognize that that's what the enemy is doing. He's creating these offenses in our lives and the things that have happened in the past, and then he connects it to something that takes place in our day, our modern day, our right now time. And that's why so many people are going off half-cocked and offended. And we don't even know why most of the time. I'm just upset about this. Why did he say that? Why did he do that? How could he do such a thing? Poor Pastor Otis doesn't even know. Didn't even know that he touched that nerve in my life. Hallelujah. Is this making any sense to you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, the power that is in this is just so incredible. And the ability, now here's what I want you to understand, that as we go through this, I think we're going to do some ministry today. And I need to really wrap things up because it's getting late. But to really do the ministry right, we need to get through this teaching so that we can see that there is supernatural deliverance. God wants to supernaturally heal people. Absolutely. But beyond that supernatural deliverance, there's also responsibility that we have as believers in Jesus Christ to capture our thoughts and to meditate on good things. That's how we keep the offense at bay. That's how we hold it off. That's how we keep it from ever happening in the first place, is by not dwelling on it and allowing it to build up and become one of those gnarly bushes in our brain. But we've got some teaching to do to get to that point. So I just want you to understand. So I'm going to share a few more things with you this morning so that we can move on. One of the things that has been confirmed by science is that some scientists or some doctors or researchers believe that physical illness is up to 95% of the physical illnesses in people these days has to do with their mental wellness, or, you know, the thought processes, allowing offense. Here's what happens. Now, here's what I believe is a process, and I think I can back it up biblically. I gave you scripture last week about the root of bitterness. Remember that one? Okay. Offense happens. An offense, it happens up here, but then it goes down and becomes a root. It becomes a root of bitterness. And everybody knows that the root is the life of the plant, right? Plant or tree or whatever. That's where the life is. You get the nutrients and everything, the watering, everything really comes from the roots. So the root of bit, once you have that root of bitterness, then it begins to come back up. And it comes back up and it'll come up inside of a person as hate. Well, I just hate when somebody says that. Or I hate it when you act that way. Or I just hate you for that. Comes up as hate. And hate becomes unforgiveness. You see, hate is the fruit of bitterness. If we have a fruit tree, the fruit actually comes from the roots. Everyone will tell you that. Comes up from the roots. That's where you get the nourishment. That's where it all comes from. So the fruit is hate. And then when hate begins to rot, and it will, if you let it get inside of you, it will rot. It becomes unforgiveness. And in Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, he gave a parable and he talked about an unforgiving servant who would not forgive his fellow. He was forgiven billions of dollars, but he wouldn't forgive his fellow man, just a few pence. And the master came back and he said, nah, we're not going to have that. You're going to be cast out into outer darkness. There's going to be tormentors tormenting you. Now listen to this, because this is very important. Jesus said, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors. He didn't say, I'm going to throw you out of the kingdom. He didn't say, you're not a part of my body any longer. He said, I'm going to turn you over to tormentors. You're going to be tormented day and night. That's what happens when we have unforgiveness. When that hate rots into unforgiveness, we are tormented day and night. You think you're tormenting the other person, but the other person, you're not bothering them at all. You're the one in torment. You're the one that can't sleep at night. You're the one that has those constant thoughts. You're the one that's being beat down. You're the one that's being bound up. Hallelujah. But God has mercy for his people.
Yes, he does.
Amen. As I said, I got a lot more to share with you, but it's time to wrap things up this morning. Stand with me. Yeah. Yes, please. Hallelujah. Because I believe of what Susie shared, I probably should go ahead and call her. I used to call her Pastor Susie, and that's what comes up every time I think about her. But what she shared this morning needs to be dealt with. Whoever God was speaking to, and it may be more than one person, I believe we need to have ministry this morning for that. And you know, ministry time is not necessarily I guess we have to see it from the right perspective. The ministry time is God speaking to individual hearts so that people can be set free from whatever. We don't know what it is. And I want you to understand there is no shame in coming forward for ministry. I stand before you as your pastor, but I need ministry. I need you to lay hands on me. I need to be able to share with you. You know, I have things in my life that God is dealing with. I want your help. I want you to pray for me. I want you to help me. We're all just a part of the body. And it doesn't matter. It has no bearing on what position we have compared to what God wants to do in our life. As a part of the body, we want to be whole. I want you to be whole and healthy. I want you to be used. I want you to be set free. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Now, in light of what Pastor Susie shared with us this morning, I'm going to just open it up. Anybody who wants to come up for prayer, please come up. Don't hesitate. Do it now. Come up and let God deal with this. Let God touch you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.